Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It's hot, but the deals are hotter. It's the end of season sale here at Scruggs. Right now, get $2,700 off all in-stock John Deere Z900 Series zero-turn mowers. Fuel injected and ready to roll. Plus, take advantage of our 0% financing. Looking for a tractor? Scruggs has the package deals you've been looking for. Or we can help you customize your own. And 0% up to 72 months is available. But hurry, these deals won't last long here at Scruggs. Remember, we have what you want for less.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Good morning. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy. I'm going to be here till 12 o'clock making all kinds of great noise on the radio today. I hope you tell your friends the handyman is on Super Talk right now. Plus, all of our media outlets. So we're streaming. We're on YouTube. You can catch us on TV. Just anything. Just pull up the Super Talk app on your phone. And with that app, you can get to every aspect of what we are broadcasting on, which many, I mean, podcast, everything, you name it, it's there. Hey, but we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you have a text, send us at 601-879-4395. That's our C Spire text line. We'd sure love to hear from you anytime, today at all. Just text us, and you can actually be a part of the program today by calling in for the first segment. Anyway, we're going to be open for them. It's 888-808-8637. And we're going to talk about all kinds of just interesting stuff today, stuff that's really makes a difference in your life. I mean, it really does. There are a lot of things like, I guess we're getting, I think, this, I'm not sure, but I think we're getting to the end of pollen season. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I hope. I mean, well, it's been a few weeks of pretty heavy dusting.
It has been. Yet it doesn't seem like the last few days I've had that much dusting on my vehicles. Yeah. But that's probably here more localized than it would be statewide. It's probably worse in some areas than it is in others.
Well, wherever there's a lot of pine trees, I know the pine belt is probably getting hit worse than anybody else. Because you have the pine, and then you have everything else still.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just an addition.
Not only the pollen is falling, but all these little pine, whatever they are, or something from an oak tree.
You got all those little dangling things. That's full of pollen. Yes, that is definitely not your friend if you have allergies.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the wind that's been blowing over the last couple of days and potentially through the weekend, maybe you'll blow some of that out of there and get it on the ground. And we're supposed to get a little bit of rain, I think, by the 30th. Which would be, you know, what are we doing, Monday?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't look like it'll be very much.
Yeah.
So if you've got stuff that you want to get done, it depends on it, – it's a very light-looking green over the state on the 30th. But the wind is definitely strong enough that it should blow some of this out. And then with a little rain, maybe dampen it into the ground and not be breathing it like, you know, every day.
And then before you know it, it'll be over with. And the good thing about pollen season being over, it's a great time to really – prep your house and get ready for that paint job. It's the best time of year to paint your house right after the pollen season. And in order to do that, you've really got to prep it properly. And I can't emphasize enough how important prepping really is. And that's not only washing it with the proper formula, which will not only remove the mildew that's showing, but also will kill the mildew spores that are inside the material, inside the paint as well. And so it'll kill all the mildew spores. Maybe they won't grow back. And how do you wash it? Well, of course, I really like a product called Jomax. Jomax is a great house cleaner. It's a concentrate that you mix up in a garden sprayer and spray it on and let it set, and it actually does the job all by itself, and then you need to rinse it just absolutely all off so there's no spray left on there whatsoever. Now, of course, for years I have talked about making up my own, and a lot of people still refer to that, and it is. I've been told it's as good as a product as Jomax is, but you do have to make up your own. And it's made up with like a half a cup of trisodium phosphate, that's TSP. And you can buy TSP at almost any hardware store or paint store or big box home center around. And some places it is harder to find than others because not as much of it is being used today as it was years ago. But TSP, I mean, that sounds like a big old harmful chemical. It's really not. It's a cleaning powder. It's really, really all it is, a great cleaning powder. And TSP can be found in many, many, many things. But it's to mix up a garden sprayer with a half a cup of TSP, a quart of regular chlorine bleach, and then fill it with water, and then mix that thoroughly. And spray it on your house and let your house just sit on there for, in this kind of weather, you can allow to let it set for as much as probably 10, 15 minutes. The trick is don't let it dry. If you have to go back and re-wet it again before it dries, do that and respray it again. And then when you hose it off, it'll hose very, very, very clean. And not only that, but you should hose your glass off. Just absolutely get rid of all of the formula that may be on those so that your glass can get totally clean. Otherwise, it will leave spots on your glass, and then you'll have to concern yourself with removing those. And you don't want to do that if you can help it. Also, people say, well, what's this going to do to my plants and my shrubs? Not really a whole lot of anything. I mean, a good thing to do is before you start spraying is take your hose and go ahead and sprinkle all of your shrubs and all of your flowers in and around the area that's going to be washed so that when the formula does lean on those, hit on those, it hits the area of the plant that has water already on it. And so it dilutes it somewhat. And then when you're finished, rinse the plants. Just totally rinse them as well. And you won't have any trouble at all with your plants with these two, my formula or the Jomax formula. Very good stuff, and it needs to be done before your paint job is done.
We have a question here from the 601. It says, I am highly allergic to bleach. Ooh, yeah. Is there any alternative that comes even close to bleach?
Well, a lot of people that are highly allergic to bleach, it's the chlorine in there that really does the problem. I'm trying to think. Even Jomax recommends you put bleach in there. I'm trying to think what you could use instead. There are really good washing powders, but and getting it clean is not a big situation. It's easy to do. The bleach really sucks all the spores right out. I'm trying to think what would do that instead.
I mean, I know OxyClean is a product that has been around for many years.
I'm just not sure if OxyClean will go in and kill the mildew spores in my.
You know, it says an excellent alternative to bleach. You know, that's on their website. That's what they're saying. That's what they're selling. I would do a little research on OxyClean. That product has been around for quite a while. It is chlorine-free.
Yeah, it's chlorine-free, and it could do the job. Find out if it kills mildew spores.
It removes stains, eliminates mold without harsh, skin-irritating fumes and toxic residues that can trigger asthma and other allergy attacks. A lot of it is hydrogen. You got about a 3% hydrogen peroxide solution in there. It's got a hypochlorous acid, HOCI. It's got an oxygen-based bleach, sodium percarbonate, which I've used some form of that before. And that stuff does work well in a different form. White vinegar and water and lemon juice, I believe that's what kind of makes up components of the OxiClean. So it says it does what you're asking. However, to the level of which bleach, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. But it sounds to me like it would do the trick from everything that
you. But you're looking for an oxygen based bleach if you're allergic to traditional bleaches. That's kind of what we're looking at here.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that if you're chlorine, like you were saying, I think more base bleach, then it's probably that fume that's going to give you more of the reaction. I have allergies to certain things.
Yeah.
I've used the bleach in a very low concentrate in water. Don't seem to have much problem with that, but I always wear a mask. Double or triple layer mask when I use bleach. And I try to cover my body, even if it's 98 degrees, I'll have... something like a rain jacket lightweight on and then something where I'm not absorbing that into my skin. And it has made a great difference to me because I have my lungs are a little sensitive to it.
Well, in my opinion, it's not a bad thought to use a raincoat and some rubber gloves when you're washing the house and using that formula on the house. Because the truth is, even when that formula gets all over my hands, my hands feel different. I can't explain the difference, but they're just not the same. They're just – the skin's not the same. It really has some effect on me. So I wear all the rubber gloves. I wear a mask. I don't let – I even wear a different pair of glasses because I don't want that stuff falling off the ceiling.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I try not to get any on me if possible just because it's I can have a little reaction to it. It'll make me my respiratory system a little bit more sensitive. But I've used it so much over the years that it's almost like that. I've kind of gotten used to it.
Yeah.
But I'm like you. I try to take as many precautions as possible.
Always. Oh, there's in anything you're doing, I don't care whether you're washing the house, painting the house, standing on a ladder, care and really concern about safety is the biggest issue right now. Always. If you're safe in what you're doing, then you can pretty much accomplish what you set out to do. If you go about it and not concern yourself with the safety matters, you could get in trouble very easily down the road. It's not very hard to get.
One of the questions we had regarding OxiClean or products like it, will it do the job as quickly as Clorox? From what I can tell, no. It's going to be more of a set it, forget it, and then come back later.
Right.
Recommended, some folks say 24 hours is a better waiting period.
Sure.
But some are doing 1 to 6 hours, letting it soak, and then you can – laundry like a lot lighter, but if you're dealing with a hard or porous surface or semi-porous, you're going to need to let it set up for at least a quarter of a day or a full day, depending on how much you're probably dealing with getting off of vinyl or wood or whatever your siding may be that you're trying to clean.
Right.
So, no, it will not be as quick, but it definitely getting mildew off, it will do that.
Yeah,
but again, much lighter if you're dealing with the shower area and those things.
Sure,
about an hour at most, you'd let it set and then wash it.
Oh, with a shower, showers and whatnot are a lot easier than cleaning a house. That's for sure.
Yeah. So depending on the type of substance or surface that you have on your house, is probably going to be somewhat of the time elapsed that you need to worry about. If it's really slick, if it's metal, you got some metal, probably not very long.
Right.
But and more similar to what a Clorox would do.
But something like wood that actually is an absorbing type product.
And it needs to get into there. So you may need to cover it well, it says, and let it stand and sit. And, again, if you have very dry conditions, the sun is beating down on certain sides of your house while you're doing this, you may need to do it a couple of times because it'll dry out kind of quickly potentially. And you may not get everything down into the grooves that you're trying to. But that's what I'm reading as far as OxiClean. There are other products, but that's the one that keeps coming up as the most used as an alternative.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds good to me. It does sound good to me.
I've used it on other things. I've just never used it on cleaning a home.
I've never used it on cleaning a home either. I always use bleach because bleach doesn't bother me very much. I don't particularly care to have it around smelling like that. When it gets on my hands smell like bleach for 2 days.
They do, yeah. My skin will start peeling back a little bit, too. We had another question regarding the same topic. You gave an alternative to pressure washing a house some time back. Could you repeat that? And he said it was a product, and maybe it's the same.
It is the product. Joe Max is really Pressure washing a house, in my opinion, isn't really the way to get a house prepared for a paint job because, one, I'm not sure pressure washing kills the mildew spores and goes all the way in and gets rid of all of the situations that need to get rid of. And the alternative to that would be like a product like Jomax and a garden sprayer, or the formula that I just gave that people can use themselves and make up themselves.
I've never used a pressure washer, honestly, on a home. And yeah. I will get a head that will maybe have a wand on it that I can adjust a bit from a normal garden hose.
Right.
And gives me a little bit more of a press against the wall that I'm trying to clean. But you know, with Clorox, I generally don't even have to worry about using a pressure washer. It's just get a little pressure of your water from the hose. And
I just use a nozzle on the end of my hose and just get the good pressure going, blow it right off, and then I go just mist it down, and really it cleans the area pretty thoroughly.
And the area that gets the worst generally is, you get that garage door. It seems like that's the spot that seems to get so much. And, again, I've never really had to worry about pressure washing.
Right. Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah.
Now, we have the question, could you spell that? I guess Jomax would be J-O-M-A-X or what?
It's a capital J-O-Max, capital M-A-X, right. Jomax.
There we go.
Right. And it's easy to find. You can almost any store you walk into that sells cleaning products or paint products or anything like that will have Jomax kicking around, particularly hardware stores, like Revel. Hey, Revel's a great hardware store. I've been dealing with Revel for many, many years. We had Joe Rooks on last week, and we were talking about Revel and what they do and how they take care of business and how they've got a grand opening coming up. So I suggest that if you need some hardware, you go see my friends at Revel Hardware. They are all over the central Mississippi area. There's many, many stores in Revel Ace around here. And in Pearl, they have their Power Equipment Center, which is this time of year, folks. It's beginning to grow. The zero-turn mowers, there's more and more every day. And as well as
the robot mower. Like
the robot mower.
Told last time,
You can sit there and watch the baseball game today while your lawn is being mowed.
Hey, go over and mow that for me.
Yeah. You don't even have to tell it. Just let it go. Hey, I'll be back in a couple hours. Have this thing done by the back. You don't even have to talk to it like that. It gets done anyway.
It knows what you want.
All right. Thank you, Rebel. I appreciate you. Coming up in the next half hour, we've got Tony Arpino with Atlas Foundation is going to be on board with us and talk to us on the phone, and we will see what's going on with Atlas Foundation. You're listening to the Handyman Show at Super Talk Mississippi, the Build Mississippi Studios. We'll be right back for a short break.
Richard Cross from Super Talk Mississippi. Every weekday at 5, join Sports Talk Mississippi for the college football fix driven by Ford and your local Mississippi Ford dealers. Speaking of Ford, in 1977, Ford F-Series became the best-selling trucks in America. 33 million trucks later, we've kept that title every year since. And that's a formula we plan on repeating. Ford F-Series, built Ford tough. The best-selling trucks in America for 49 years and counting.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob.
I like mine with lettuce and tomato. Heinz 57 and Frank's fried potatoes. Big kosher pickle and a cold draft beer. Well, good God almighty, which way do I steer for my cheeseburger in paradise?
idea. Great day for a cheeseburger.
That's what I was thinking. I was hoping Tony may have something on the grill down there, you know, a big cheeseburger in paradise.
Yeah, well, I might have that tonight.
No, it's too cold for the grill.
It's too cold for the grill. No. It's never too cold for the grill at my house. Tony, how are you today, Tony?
Very good.
Let's talk about foundations a little bit. Your business is repairing slab foundations when they seem to want to sink a little bit or they're just not stable or not level.
I never use the word level. That's a legal term.
That's a legal. Okay, let's stay away from the legal stuff.
When a corner has its own personality, from what I call them, for your garden mama folks, for your neighbor's trees, I'll ask good ladies, do you have any trees? Oh no, but my neighbor has them. Well, the tree doesn't know whose property it's on.
Yeah.
So that's agitating the corner of your house and pulling the water, well, the, as I call it, drying the sponge out from under the corner of a property. And so that's why, as you know, I go to what's called bridge builder depths, so to get beneath the root influence, not stop the tree from drinking, but get beneath the root influence. And then and this is all done with handheld, hand-carried equipment. And as you know, I'm on every job.
Right.
I'm not supposed to get dirty, but I'm on every job.
Come on, Tony. Tell me, how many times have you been dirty on a job?
That's what they told me. Okay, now. So.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way, so always. I know, because I do the same thing. I go to supervise jobs and say, no, I'm not going to get involved. Yeah, well. Well, it just does happen. A question that just came across my mind that I wanted to ask you. You see so many slab foundations, and of course they're not all the same as far as the pouring is concerned. Some have a higher percentage rating of strength. Some have maybe too much water that's been added to the concrete, so therefore they're not nearly as strong. Does that have any effect on what you and I are talking about?
To me, no. Because usually when we attach our metal supports,
yes,
our chairs will come. When we drill with a little half inch drill, we can tell whether the concrete is chalky or whether it's. And by the way, to let the consumer know, sometimes the uglier the concrete, the stronger. So you say, wait a minute, it's got rocks all over. Oh, yeah, that's what we want. The strength is in the rocks.
Right.
It's not pretty, but it's stronger.
Right.
And then, and remember, I'm really focusing on the reinforcing steel inside, not the concrete externally.
Right.
Because, and how deep the footings are in relation to the soil type it's built in. And sometimes you can have a very thin footing, but your soil is so good, it you gamble and win. You don't have a problem.
Gamble and win.
But if you have problem soils and this foundation reinforcing is not strong enough,
right?
Then you get into different things. So, you know, like around Yazoo clay and
sure
situations like that.
Do you run into a situation ever where? The reinforcing, which is set up on chairs and supposed to be in the middle of the pour, sometimes sinks to the bottom and sits on the dirt and doesn't really give you the support that you're supposed to.
We never know that because it's it's in the concrete. But the game I play with Atlas is that was one of my jokes years ago. We test our way A, B, C, D. The other folks. Who do other methods don't know how strong the footing is till it's time to lift the property. Or let's say they're lifting in a half inch. They don't know how strong the footing is till it's time to lift.
Yeah.
Whereas we test our way down, test A, test B, test C, and then we test our way around. And what that lets me do, if the footing is very strong, I might be able to move my centers a little farther apart and cover more wall length.
Yes.
Because remember I'm on site and I have a technical degree, whatever that means. And
whatever that means. Yeah. Okay.
Well, remember, I told you I took my soils, structural soils from a Vicksburg kernel.
Sure. So that's what it means.
But trees are my focus. I was going to tell you about one for your consumers the other day of a failed repair I looked at just the other day. The lady didn't know she had a failed repair. She remembers paying the guys. She remembers talking to the workmen, et cetera, et cetera. But her front door, I said, well, talk to me about your front door. And are you having to do anything with your doorknob to make the latch work?
Right.
And she said, and I didn't put words in her mouth. I said, do you push down on the doorknob or do you lift up on the doorknob? And she told me she lifted up. I said, well, remember where they fixed that foundation repair that we looked in your patch marks on your porch?
Uh-huh.
I said, your house weight has pushed the repair in the ground, and that's why you're having to lift your doorknob to turn it. Well, she wouldn't know because she paid money, you know, the way the consumer thinks. Well, I spent money there, therefore it works. Okay. So she called me to kind of do another area near there that, to me, was not reflecting of the door problem. But she didn't know she had a door problem. She just knew she was lifting the doorknob, her front door, so she could work the latch. And she said, well, yeah, there's certain times of the year this acts up. And I quoted her, and I said, well, I'm trying to get it where this door acts the same year-round.
Right.
So when you latch or whatever you're doing, whether it's like we're right now, we're in what I call a limited drought currently.
Yeah.
Whether you're in a bad drought or you know, limited drought, or whether you've got, you know, 2 months worth of rain, you know, that's picking the soils up. I'm trying to get the doorknob acting the same year-round, the door latch acting
sure.
year-round.
Yeah.
But she didn't know she had a failed repair. Well, I don't understand. I said, well, and what I'm running into with good folks, they'll say, well, he was such a nice, you know, foundation guy. And I said, well, what materials was he going to use? Or what material did he use? Well, I don't know. Well, yeah. How do you not know other than he was a very nice person?
Yeah, you know? Really. You know? That doesn't cut it. Not enough investigating has been done and not enough research has been done in that particular company.
Buddy, I describe it as church committees that we both serve on.
Uh-huh.
They know how much it costs, but they don't know what they bought. And it's like, you know, trying to say, well, you know, did you buy the washing machine or did you buy the warranty? You know, it's like they don't know what they bought. they don't know what they bought. But they know how much it cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't even want to get into talking about what today's appliances compared to yesteryear's appliances.
Well,
that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story.
So let's buy the warranty and not put the money in the product. You know?
Yeah, really.
But by the way, I'm going to give my 800 number.
Please do. Please do.
800-256-1010. 800-256-1010. One time we were on with you, I talked about losing control of the outcome. Losing control of the outcome. That's the joke I was telling you about how attorneys want to run away from the courthouse.
Yes.
Because once you get in the hands of a judge or a jury, they have lost control of the outcome. And what that means, what that has with the price of eggs on foundations, is people say, well, I'm not going to worry about this house now. Let my kids handle it. But folks who want my inheritance, they're telling me not to spend money. Once you get to a situation where I have to please third parties with your money, right now I only have to work for you.
Right.
But once we start pleasing third parties with your money, and my millionaire friend who just died at 91, I worked around his home, a gated home, and on one of his properties, I had to use twice as many supports as I wanted to. I'm the one with the $1 billion backup factory warranty. 30-year, and I had to please third parties with his money.
Wow.
And it's hard to explain that to people, but he'll turn it to one third party. They turn it to another third party. We have all these strangers telling him to spend money when he and I could have just fixed it direct.
Yes.
And use one half as many supports. And what's happening, they get into an overkill situation.
Right.
That if you know where I'm headed with that,
yeah.
Everybody is trying to protect themselves with somebody else's money.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, I've found pretty much in you know, like in my business or in any business at all, remodeling particularly, when you're dealing with more than one customer, in other words, you have a customer and then you have a real estate agent and then you have maybe perhaps a buyer, and you, all of a sudden you're dealing with like four or five different people to get a job accomplished, run away. I don't think you need to be involved in that, is my opinion.
Well, that's what we're talking about, losing control of the outcome, is the same way with me. I want to work for who's actually there,
right?
And not say, well, my people who's getting my inheritance, they'll fix it.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Now they're going to get into overkills. They're going to get into things they don't need, and then at a higher cost.
Yeah.
And let you solve the problem before the clays or trees move that corner and start agitating a second room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important to do. And, you know, I think it should be mentioned that you, the Atlas Foundation, works statewide, anywhere from North Mississippi to the coast. And all they need to do is call you at 800-256-1010 and talk to you on the phone about their situation. They can send you text on picture line, on text line. And you'll even go to their property and take a look at what needs to be done, and estimates are free. So, you know.
And if I can give them a phone quote. If they can say, I want to cover this 30-foot dimension, this 50-foot dimension from the corner, you know, how far I am from any
sure.
corner.
Wow.
And then I can, based off of soil type, based off of this, you know, to one story, two story, I can give them a bid. Almost over the phone,
yeah.
if we can, you know.
Get to that point where you are bidding. Yeah. And I think there are so many people out there that work on foundations today. And how do I phrase this where I'm not punching somebody in the face? And I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to hurt anybody's business at all. But in the foundation industry, there are a few people who do a foundation repair absolutely correctly, and it's going to be something that's going to really withstand time. And then there are others who put something and fix it temporarily, even though it's called a permanent fix, but it's going to actually not hold up. And that's
right.
Just
not
an opinion.
Hold up. It's a technology thing. It's Even though was a great salesman, he's using a wrong technique for the wrong application.
Right.
And so it'll go like her door. I'm sitting there 3 feet from the repair, and the door's in a twist.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't know her repair failed.
Well, just about any foundation that has some sort of problem with it is going to create also door situations. A lot of times. A lot of times doors aren't going to latch and doors aren't going to close. And then when you get the foundation fixed, it may straighten out or it may not.
Yes. And a lot of times it will go up what I call year and a half to three. Like we talk about those 18-wheelers on a cotton, those log trucks on a cotton field.
Yep.
They'll go up for 1 to 3 years until the log truck pushes the jack in the ground.
Yep.
It's really common sense, but the public is not around it. And they assume because he's a nice salesman and he owns the company, it must work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. And one of the things that I was thinking about the other day is, why do telephone poles lean? Remember, they're augering down the ground 10, 6 feet, 12 feet. So if it went in vertical, why did the telephone pole lean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think people don't understand surface soils are soft.
Are soft.
And subject to moisture content and outside forces. It's just like a corner of a brick cone that's got a tree, you know, 60 feet away.
And sucking the water.
Or the soils are soft or fill dirt or water ponding next to the corner.
Yeah.
Different things.
Yeah. All right, Tony, I'm about running out of time. Atlas Foundation, 1-800-256-1010. Give them a call. You'd be happy you did. Take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you, Tony.
Grammy Museum Mississippi is thrilled to announce the opening of a groundbreaking new exhibit in January. The Killer, the Preacher, and the Cowboy. The legacies of Jerry Lee Lewis, Jimmy Swaggart, and Mickey Gilley. Opening Thursday, January 22nd. Come celebrate three cousins who left an indelible mark on American culture and whose stories continue to inspire generations. Sponsored by Sun Records and Visit Mississippi. To purchase tickets or to learn more about this exhibit and other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit BuildMississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. BuildMississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it. Nowadays.
Lord, I think I'll go back over yonder, baby.
Yeah, I'm singer Jimmy. Hey, Handyman Show here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Building Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy, and going to be here to be happy to take your text line, 601-879-4395 is our C-Spire text line. Send us a text. We'll be happy to talk about that. And Tony and I talked about this a little bit, but we didn't make a big deal out of it because it didn't affect what he and I were talking about. But I'm talking about an adjustable striker plate. And, you know, last week a question came up about a person who can't get their striker plate, get their throw to go into the striker plate because it hits too low. And our suggestion was, there's two or three things you can do with it. You can use your Dremel and actually open it up a little, open the hole up a little bit lower, and that will work. But they do make adjustable thresholds, and these adjustable striker plates. And these adjustable striker plates can move in or out a little bit and can move up or down. Now, it's true they can only move like perhaps a fraction of an inch or so, but the fact is that's, you need much, much less than that to make it work, because most doors that won't close because they can't fit into the striker plate, they just don't work properly, and they'll always, the wind will blow them open, and you want to secure them. The best way to do that is go to a good hardware store, go to like a Revel hardware store, or go to a big box home center, and look at the adjustable striker plates that they have. They come in many, many different colors, of course. All of your bright brass and your, you know, dull brass, and just you name it, and they have it, all the silver and all the pewter and all the types that you need. But adjustable striker plates are very, very useful and can be used on doors that can temperamental with the season, if you will. And some doors, I have a front door that's kind of like that. It's temperamental with the season. It's not very often that I do have to lift it a tad to get it to close properly, but once in a great while I do have to do that. And this time of year, somehow or other, because I guess we're in the middle of a pretty dry spell, so I can tell right now. I mean, they're talking about a fire concern and you know, all that. I wonder if that if that fire concern or the wind concern or the dry is just – are we having a serious drought here in central Mississippi or is it throughout the entire state? Do you know the answer to that question, Lance?
I mean, we've had a little rain, but it hadn't rained any in the last couple of weeks or so. And when it did, it was such a gully washer that, you know, that just skins off the top
right.
And goes into the gullies and ditches.
And disappears.
I remember coming out of here, I guess it was two Saturdays ago, was the last big rain.
Yeah.
And when I left around 5:30 or so, it was every ditch was full.
Wow.
And then by the next day, everything was dry.
Everything was empty and gone.
You know, it just, with the hills here, I mean, the Delta had a little bit more pooling.
Yeah.
Not as much as you would imagine of flooding or anything
yeah.
that I noticed. But, yeah, I mean, it's just been very dry.
Yeah.
And we should have, like I said, maybe an opportunity for a light misting Monday, maybe a little bit heavier in certain areas.
But it'll help some.
It'll help some, yeah. Sometimes it's better just to get a couple of days of light rain than it is to get those heavy downpours that just kind of take your topsoil with it.
Yeah, it tends to soak in more when you get a light rain like that, and it tends to want to just hang around a little longer. So, adjustable thresholds are great things to have. They're great things to use. Easy to install, taking out your old threshold. And another key is common sense home security dictates that you should use longer screws when you're mounting your striker plate, like 3-inch screws, and you use a longer screw, and it goes through not only the door frame, but into the studs or the 2x4s of your home, or 2x6s even of your home, and secures that striker plate to the stud. And it's much, much, much harder to get into those kind of doors that have long screws in the striker plates than they do on any other kind of door. So that's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. And adjustable striker plates, like I say, they can be the salvation to many a problem. So give it a look. Go check it out. I mean, you can check it out on the computer. As you can see on our screen, we have some striker plates up there that are adjustable. And how they can be adjusted, and again, there's other types that really have what they have is the screw goes through a hole, but if you loosen the screw, the striker plate itself becomes adjustable up or down or sideways depending, and then you tighten the screw up again, and it's a little more expensive to get that type, but it works very, very well, and it works very good in helping those kind of door situations out.
Well, and it says on the diagrams that you can go from normal to 1 inch to 2 inches, or
yeah.
anything within that, you know, in that measurement.
Yeah.
And the strike plate hole is vertically larger than the traditionals. So
right.
you have the horizontal ability to move it and slide it, and it also is a little longer on the north and south or the vertical. So it should be the fix you're looking for without having to re-jam and redo and take out everything.
Yeah.
I would start there because you're looking at $8 to $10, and you could probably find some of those on sale if you look at the box stores or even call Ace. I'm sure they'll have an option for you.
Sure, and the other way to fix that is like a lot more expensive than that, for sure, and takes a lot of time.
Unless you're just bored.
Yeah,
and have nothing to do and love projects.
Oh, this,
I would start here.
Yeah, me too. That's a good place to start. And some doors require just actually people want to pull them out and rehang them, and that will square them up as well because a lot of times the frame itself of the door gets out of square. It's not plumb and square anymore. But when you take it out and reinstall it, sometimes you can get it back plumb and square the way it should be, and it'll last at that point in time. But, that's a good thing to do with the striker plates. It really can help you a great deal. So check them out. You'll be happy you did. All right. Well, once in a while we do this, and it's kind of fun to do, and we talk about classic sayings. What are some of the classic sayings? Well, I happen to mention that one of the classic sayings is measure twice and cut once. Well, I think Lance jumped on me last time and said, nah, I measured it three times at least, maybe four.
Wood's expensive, man.
Yeah, wood's expensive. And it's so easy. It's so easy to take something that's supposed to be 96 inches long. It's so easy to cut it at 69 inches and not even think about it. And then go to where it's supposed to be and go, wonder why it doesn't fit. Well, guess what? Measure twice at least and cut once. That's so, so, so important. Another just classic saying is like, regular maintenance avoids emergency repairs. And I don't think that can be underlined enough. So much of that can happen so often. A regular maintenance, and it should be something we attend to regularly. Hey, you listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. We're about to take a news break and take some information from Fox National News, information coming our way. And then we'll come back with a music segment. And we'll go on with the Handyman Show from there. My name is Buddy. Be right back from Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk. Nobody keeps Mississippi informed like we do. With 12 stations covering all 82 counties, if it happens in your state, we're on top of it. The news, the weather, the sports, and the talk that's important to you.
The issues that matter to you, your family, and your bank account.
It's all right here. And when you're away from home, depend on the SuperTalk app and supertalk.fm to stay in the know. We're proud to serve our fellow Mississippians. SuperTalk Mississippi. Mississippi News doesn't sleep, and neither do we. At supertalk.fm, you get news from all over the state. From stories to keep you safe, to legislation that could affect your bank account, to weather reports to help you better plan your weekend. Plus, find in-depth interviews with the newsmakers in the SuperTalk podcast archives. And everything Mississippi sports. Your Mississippi News. All the time, on air and online. At supertalk.fm.
Cool. Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is it?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Handyman Show. My name is Buddy, the Rock and Roll Handyman, and this is the music segment where we talk about a few artists and their goings and comings and whatnot. And I thought I'd start with, strangely enough, one of my favorite writers, and one of my, actually, I like him as an artist too, is Jackson Browne. I've been listening to Jackson Browne for years and years and years, and he's never really stopped. I mean, he didn't land on one particular way of doing things and go about that the rest of his career like a lot of people do, because that works so well. He's always had something fresh coming up. And he did a song on one of his albums called My Cleveland Heart, and he's a great songwriter. To begin with, he was a member of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. I wish I didn't know at all, but he was, and he wrote a lot of songs for them. And in 1976, his wife committed suicide, and that just really devastated him, and he wrote a lot of great songs about that situation. I mean, it's hard to call them a great song when that's kind of the situation at hand, but that's really what happened. During his Running on Empty tour, he was doing a lot of coke and a lot of alcohol and really just going off the rails, if you will. But when that tour was finished, he finally realized, I got to get straightened out. And he did. He went into a rehab and got himself totally straightened out. And he's doing quite well right now. Very active in political and social activities. And I have to say the truth. I really don't care about musicians who have political opinions and ideas, and I don't think it belongs there. I think they should be doing their music and do that only. But I don't hold that against him. I just don't pay any attention to that. That's just not part of what Jackson Browne is to me. So let's listen to my Cleveland heart, Jackson Browne. Jackson Browne. Must be more than me that likes Jackson Browne because he's been around a long time. That's for all you Jackson Browne.
A great song, too.
Oh, yeah, it's a great song. It was, what's his name? David Lindley played the slide guitar, and of course David's passed away, but David's great. All right. Next group is Vanilla Fudge. How many of you know who Vanilla Fudge is? They started in 1966. And they had a big hit with a copy of the Supremes song, You Keep Me Hanging On. But Carmen Appice sang lead and played drums on that song. And Carmen got quite a past. I mean, he's played not only with Vanilla Fudge, but he's also played in Rod Stewart's on a number of Rod Stewart albums. And he's played also in Rod Stewart tours. And he's just a great drummer. But they also started a super group called Beck, Bogart, and Appice. And that Beck is Jeff Beck, of course. And when you take somebody like Jeff Beck that can play guitar and Bogart and Appice playing, they were amazing. They were really good. But let's listen to You Keep Me Hanging On by Vanilla Fudge. Thank you.
I can do about it.
Set me free. What old you babe? I like it. Alvin and Brendan says, a friend of mine says, check out Guitar Zeus by Carmen Lepici. I will check that out. Alvin, thank you. I didn't know about that, but I'll look at it for sure. It's, anything Carmen Lepici did is just amazing anyway. It really struck me pretty good. All right. Next, we're going with a very familiar artist. Everybody knows who Sheryl Crow is. And she does a song called Every Day is a Winding Road. And she was a music teacher to begin with and was in Missouri as a music teacher and was doing quite well. And just decided she wanted a music career and moved to Hollywood and moved to L.A. And since that time, she's won nine Grammy Awards. I don't mean nominated. I mean won. All her songs are optimistic and idealistic, and she was the backup singer for Michael Jackson's world tour and was the backup for many, many artists like Stevie Wonder and Jimmy Buffett, who we heard at the very beginning of the show, Hamburgers and Cheeseburger in Paradise, and Don Henley as well. And she's sung with so many people and so many times, and she's still around today. Sheryl Crow is just something that I really think is close to like a national treasure. She's been through a lot with her, in her life, relationships and health-wise, but still, she just puts out some great music, makes great sound, and is invited almost everywhere where there's a gathering of great musicians. Sheryl's part of it. Sheryl Crow, Every Day is a Winding Road. Let's give a listen.
I get a little
every day is a winding road. A couple of blips.
Probably been a fan of hers. A
couple of blips in those, but that's okay. Yeah. We're supposed to fill those there, you and I.
If I knew when they were coming, I would just air guitar through it.
They just rip on through, and we don't even catch them, so before we know it, forgive us. All right. Hey, next group is AC/DC. They're from Sydney, Australia. They were formed in 73 by Angus and Malcolm. They were brothers, and they formed a great, great group. And there have been many changes over the years with lead singers and guitar players and whatnot. And in 1991, they played to 1.6 million people outside in the Soviet Union, and they were the first rock band to actually go to the Soviet Union and play. It was an open-air concert. And can you imagine 106 million people? That's a lot of people. But to do a show over there is, like, amazing. And they still do they're just great, entertaining, full of energy, great to watch, great to listen to. Let's listen to AC/DC do it. You Rock Me All Night Long, baby. AC/DC, great sound. Let's take this thing home with Super Sessions. Three people who did a great, great album. Listen to a little bit of Stephen Stills do Albert's tune or something like that. Albert's song.
Albert Shuffle,
yeah.
Cross from Super Talk Mississippi. Every weekday at 5, join Sports Talk Mississippi for the college football fix driven by Ford and your local Mississippi Ford dealers. Speaking of Ford, in 1977, Ford F-Series became the best-selling trucks in America. 33 million trucks later, we've kept that title every year since. And that's a formula we plan on repeating. Ford F-Series, built Ford tough. The best-selling trucks in America for 49 years and counting.
This is professional ballplayer and former Mississippi State Bulldog, Jake Mangum. I travel a lot, but no place feels like home. Our houses and our cars are where we spend a lot of our time. That's why a home and auto insurance bundle from Farm Bureau makes so much sense. If you aren't already on the team, it's time to join Farm Bureau. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance. Or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
For a flipping good time.
back to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. All right. Thank you for your comments on the music segment. I think it was Larry who says they went to see the Blue Man Group a little while ago.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
Some good old Super Talk tickets there. And it's always nice to know that folks that, you know, enjoy what they get, but also that something like that, the Blue Man Group's been around for a long time, still putting on a great show.
They put on a great show, and unique and different, but very, very, very good. I've seen it on TV, but I have not seen it in person, and it would be a great, great show. It really would. But at any rate, glad you got to go, Larry. All right. Let's see what we're going to talk about. Well, you know, your bathroom exhaust fan is a good tool. It really is a good tool. It removes moisture from your bathroom as much as it can. But from time to time, maybe every 30, every 60 days or so, it needs to be – you pull the screen down. The actual screen is actually held up there by some spring hinges, and those spring hinges actually lower the screen a little bit. And shut your fan off. Make sure there's no power going to it. And clean the thing thoroughly. Clean your blades. Clean all the dust and all the mildew off your blades. Maybe even vacuum up there and get rid of some of the dust that's blowing up in there. The cleaner we keep those, the longer they will last, the quieter they will be, and the better off they will perform. So cleaning your bathroom fans is something that's, you know, you think, well, that's just something that's going to take care of itself. No, it won't take care of itself. After a while, it's going to not be servicing you as well as it should. And believe me, you should be using your bathroom vent fan as often as you can. Anytime you shower, it should be on. Anytime you bathe, it should be on. And then it should stay on for at least 20 minutes afterwards to remove the moisture from the air as much as it can. That's very, very important. Now, in older bathrooms, some may have a window in them, and they don't have exhaust fans. Well, it's not a bad idea to put an exhaust fan in there anyway, and the exhaust fan should not exhaust into the attic. It should exhaust out the roof line by either hitting a ventilation pipe or something like that and tying into that, or going out the Cornish vent where it's supposed to actually exhale the air out. But that moist air is not to go into your attic. It's not going to help at all. So get rid of it as often as you can and as much as you can. And it's a good idea to do that and do that as often as you can. All right. Let's see. All right, we did classic sayings. All right. Okay. We're going to talk about patching a sheetrock wall. There's been a lot of questions about that lately, about how it's done and, you know, what do you have to do? It's very simple. It's very simple. In order to patch any kind of sheetrock wall, in order to behind the sheetrock, you have to have some sort of bracing, something that the sheetrock can actually land on and create a level surface with the existing sheetrock next to it. And how would you do that? Well, let's take, for instance, a hole that, a 6x6 hole. Let's just say that's the size of the hole, about 6 inches by 6 inches. Of course, it's not straight by any means. So the thing to do is to get a patch that's about 6.5 by 6.5, and it is a square patch that goes right over that tear in the hole or the hole in the wall, and you trace that square out. And by tracing that square out, what you're doing is you're sizing the hole in the wall to the same size as your patch. Once you've removed all the excess sheetrock, then what you need to do is take like a piece of lumber or plywood. Plywood is really better because it doesn't split. Strips of it, like maybe on a 1-inch wide strip up behind the sheetrock. It needs to be like 8-10 inches long up behind the sheetrock and below the sheetrock, and then pulled up to the very back of the sheetrock. And on top, you put a sheetrock screw through the sheetrock and into the wood bracing, and it pulls the wood bracing right up to the back of the sheetrock. Do the same at the bottom. And then maybe you'd do the same on the other side. And therefore, you'll have backing for your sheetrock, which is so important. And then it just be a matter of taping and floating. And taping and floating is something you get better at as you do more and more and more. The more taping and floating you do, the better off at it you get. And to watch a pro do some taping and floating, it's like, wow, how do they do that? It's like they get up there and it just seems like they can get more done with one putty knife and a load of sheetrock mud than we can get done with 10 loads of sheetrock mud. They just do so much better. Masters of their art. That's what they are. They're masters of their art. And it's so important that there are people that can do that type of thing. And you can actually become a person qualified to do that type of thing by getting the proper training. It'd be nice to go to a four-year college and get a degree and maybe get a master's degree and go on. But, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money to do that, whether it's schooling or whether it's education or whatever. It doesn't matter who's paying for it. It's going to cost an awful lot of money. An easier or a less expensive way to do that is to get involved in a trade school or a trade that will actually reap you good benefits towards when you get into it, and an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to be covered with insurance and all the things that are necessary with a good employer. And believe me, you'll be making an income in the trades more than you would if you would go to school sometimes. And that works so well. Plus, you won't have that incredible debt hanging on you all for years and years and years. School debt. School debt just hangs on people for a long time, and they have to deal with it forever and ever. It just seems like even when they get grown to adulthood and they start having children and whatnot, they're still paying for their schools. And that's it. There's something wrong with that picture. I'm not quite sure how to explain that or what is wrong or how to fix it. I just know that it's an awful lot of money to go to schools and get an education. It is, in this day and age, something that it just costs so much to do. It's so easy to get involved in that and want to do that. But, hey, and how many people have graduated with a four-year degree in college and then gotten out of college and have no idea what they're going to do? I met somebody last week who was just like that. Matter of fact, he came to my door selling something. And we got talking, and he has a four-year degree from a college and decided that he still didn't know what he wanted to do with that four-year degree. And then went to work for selling a type of insurance with an insurance company and enjoyed it so very much. He really began to grow in that situation and got to the point where he was doing quite well. And he is doing quite well right now today. And really is not using – well, I'm not saying he's not using his four-year college degree, because he probably is using his four-year college degree in the sense that he can talk better, he can speak better, he can read better. And that's part of what you learn when you go to school, is to how to speak, how to add, how to do simple math, how to do complex math even. So a lot of things happen when you go to school. It's good for you. Plus the – I don't know, the social getting together by going to a class with a whole bunch of people and actually listening to somebody give a lecture on a topic is so important. It's so important that we get together and talk to people, people to people, not just text to text. Like, I know some people in my life who only will talk to me by text. And Yeah, I wish that would change. I do wish that would change. I wish they'd realize that I want to talk to them as much as I do want, more than I want to text them.
Text is really convenient, but it also, there's a lot that can be missed in, you know, context. There's no inflection in voice. There's not a lot of feeling. And then trying to attribute feelings to things like emojis that are you know, interpretive. Yeah, it's very difficult, I think, especially for those of us that grew up, you know, with a cord on your phone that went back to the backyard, basically. Used to, you know, the phone was always kind of the conduit to the outside world.
Yes.
Because you didn't have, not everybody went everywhere all the time.
Right.
You know, you kind of were around the house a lot, and so the phone became an indispensable tool. Now it's much cheaper, and I think socially cheaper, to connect, but at what level are you really connecting?
Yeah, well, at what level are you? It's like you and I having a conversation. We do it on Saturdays. We talk every now and then. And you can actually, when I say something, you can see my expression, my tone. You know what I'm talking about, and you know how I feel about it because of my expression. Just ditto. That works in the opposite. When you talk to me, I understand that you have a passion for certain things, or maybe that didn't quite do it for you. Who knows? And that's all gotten from body language and emotions rather than actual words. Words express as, yeah, they lack something. They lack something, that's for sure. So texting, yeah, it's okay. It's not bad. It's a good thing. It's a good tool.
Well, I think it's a great tool, but yeah, it's something I believe we should probably not depend on exclusively for transacting information from one person to the other. Oh, there's so much missed just in the voice, but being able to physically engage somebody face-to-face is a lost art, and it's nice to hear that there are still salespeople that are out face to face with their potential customer. And I mean, that's how I learned to function in the world of sales. I was a fundraiser first and then finance for many years. So I don't think I'd have been very good at it if I was not able to connect with people physically.
Exactly. It's just like, well, let's take songwriting, for instance. How would songwriters actually co-write a song without being together and understanding the expression that they mean in a phrase? By text, that somehow expression doesn't carry the meaning or the emotion that maybe that presentation from a vocal point of view from another person and their eyes and the look in their eyes and the feel. You just don't get that. So I'm for it. I really, texting, like I said, not bad. But
I think it is, you deal too, as well as some folks are more comfortable. I've learned bartending with people that were half my age in a college town. It, you know, most of them, when you would say, hey, call me if you can't make it in.
Yeah.
They look at you like, you know, a cow looks at a new fence. Like, what do you mean call?
Yeah,
so their comfort level is there, and ours is somewhere else, and, you know, how you communicate.
A call? What do you mean? How do I do that?
Yeah. What number do I mean, like, what button do I push? And you'd be like, are you serious? And there would, I would, as a manager, I would always say, hey, you know, the best thing you can do, they'd say, well, you know, I had a bill come, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't think I owe it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know, that's generally when you pick up the phone and call. And they'd be like, I don't like calling people. Well, then drive over there. I mean, it's your choice. But, you know, they're not going to, you're not going to text and get it. Well, sometimes face to face is what you got to do.
I got to tell you the truth. When I have a problem like that, when I have a bill or something that I don't understand, that really doesn't belong to me, and I call, and I get, and I have to talk to about 17 answer machines first. They ask me a question about what department do you want? Well, what are you going to talk about when you get there?
And that's probably why they don't like making calls. It's like they know they're not getting anybody until like an hour later.
I keep saying, I need to talk to somebody. Takes a long time to get there.
I want to talk to a human being, not a robot. And eventually you'll get to one.
Yeah, eventually he'll get to one. Short break coming up. You listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi at the Bill Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy. Be right back. Don't you go away.
Set her away now. crank up the nostalgia. Grammy Museum Mississippi presents 80s Rock, the wildest decade in music. Exhibit is opening Friday, September 26th. Dive into iconic memorabilia from legends like Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, and more. The 80s Rock Exhibit is sponsored by Maddox Foundation, Entergy, South Delta Planning and Development District, and Visit Mississippi. To get tickets to this exhibit or learn more about other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org.
You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi, where the news comes first.
With live updates from Super Talk Mississippi News and Fox News every hour.
Available on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
Can you believe this guy?
Who is this guy?
It's Gerard Gibbert, weekdays 10 till 1 on Super Talk Mississippi.
I like this guy.
Also on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
In Mississippi.
I like it.
Crazy man.
Crazy man. It makes me, I think when I get home, I'm going to put on some rock and roll.
Oh, definitely.
Just crank out a little bit and use the big stereo. Let it loose. I have a couple of stereos. I have a little stereo, which is pretty good to listen to most of the day. But when I want to really listen to something, I put it through the big stereo. Like, really,
well,
really.
You hear everything.
The big stereo is such clarity. Mm-hmm. Such clarity. I mean, you can hear everything, every instrument.
And when you have a background in music like you do, it's easy to know the equalizer settings that allow you to hear the things you want to hear.
Yeah, it's just, man, I enjoyed music so much. I shouldn't get out of that whole place.
It floats you off into a different place. Not that this place is bad, but there's another place that you get to go to with music.
Music has the ability to transport, and that's something that not a lot of things can do in life. Maybe a good painting can do that, and a book can do that, but music can definitely take you from where you're sitting right now to back the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s or wherever.
They say that the olfactory sense is the strongest sense you have, the sense of smell, that it brings more nostalgia than any other sense that you can perceive.
Like sight, really?
Feel, taste, all that. Smell is the strongest one. Wow. So you'll smell something from your childhood as an adult, and you don't quite, you'll feel it, though. That's the thing that draws you to that.
Yeah.
Is even, there's that theory that as you age, too, even though you may not have liked collard greens when you were a kid, if you smelled them a lot,
right,
and as you get older, that smell brings you back to a place that you don't know you're there, but now you want collard greens. And you're like, I never really liked them much when I was a kid. But it is, the way the mind works is really amazing.
It's
like Larry just told us. He goes, I remind my boys that the thing that I'm paying for right there can actually be used as a phone. Talking about, instead of just a personal computer, this thing right here, actually you can make a call on it. Right? how you sense things and, the time you learned them, and that is definitely specific to each and every one of us.
That is an interesting thought, for sure. All right. Generally, when you are changing a key lock on your house, your exterior doors, whether it's a handle on the front door, a decorative handle, or maybe it's just a key lock in the side doors, the back doors. One, you should always try to match the same type of hardware that you have in the house. And the same brand name is important, because that way when you go to an outlet like, to Ridgeland Specialty Hardware or someplace that really sells a lot of key locks and deadbolts and knobs and whatnot, they'll key it for you. If you bring your key from your existing lock in there, from your key, they can determine how to key that existing lock. Now, it is easier for them to do when you choose the same brand that's in your house now. For instance, you may have Schlage in there. Well, pick a Schlage entry knob. You may have Kwikset. Hey, pick a Kwikset entry knob. Find something that matches and then get it keyed, what they call key to like. And if they're key to like, it means one key will open all of the doors in your house. And that's really how it should be. You don't need 17 keys to get into your home. And
good luck picking the right one.
Really? I mean, I have 3 keys on my key ring, and I still, if my hands are full and I'm trying to figure out which one it is with one hand and holding them stuff in and the other, it's like it takes forever.
I deal with that every morning as I'm scurrying out the door. My animals have a certain format that they appreciate, and my big orange cat, Butterscotch, he always waits for me to open the front door, and he expects me to pet him. I mean, he really wants some attention. He's been out gallivanting and guard catting all night, and I'll have the set of keys in one hand and trying to reach in him. I got a, you know, a Coke in, or something in my briefcase, and it's always, you know, I always think, you know, the key could, I wish we would come up with something that was a little easier.
Yeah.
You know, not like a key card that wouldn't work sometimes, but, you know, hardware.
Yeah.
Like a key, but, you know, something where I didn't have to thumb through, and because it's always when you have your hands full when you're trying to get to the
right.
Oh,
for sure.
You'll drop a drink or your bag of food that you're coming in with, and I'm like, man, there's got to be a better way. So I'm challenging you, Mississippians, let's invent something.
Yeah, I sit in my car a lot of times when I come back from the grocery store and say, well, I can carry this in and this in and take that, and then I unlock the door and get in.
Yeah, it is. It's like playing Tetris.
Then all
bit.
Of a sudden, man, I can't get in. I have to put stuff down.
I sit it over here and there, and I got a cat running through my feet, and dogs are ready when you walk in the door, and you still got this dungeon master set of keys. It doesn't. I might have 5 or 6 on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to have them on a ring, and it's got to have something that you can actually clip on it. You know, so it's like you're a dungeon master.
Well, it's like, and I'm not picking on the ladies, but let's just say.
Oh, they've got 10,000 more keys.
There you go.
I mean, that's a weapon.
Ladies
that's
somehow a carry a bulge of keys that almost as big as a hornet's nest.
It looks like a softball. Right?
It's huge. And the problem with that is when you put your key in your ignition in your automobile and that weight of those keys hangs down on your ignition, that's really not a good thing. And after a period of time, it may cause you some problems with your ignition because there's so much weight on your keys. So to have that many keys on your key ring isn't really a smart move, even though nowadays a lot of keys, cars
don't even have keys anymore.
My
mother's
keys.
BMW, the last couple ones she's had. Yeah, I mean, it's you really have to have a kind of a degree in IT to actually buy one and set it up and all that. So I commend her at 79. I mean, she's reset a couple of BMWs over the years with all of her personal things, and that's not easy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, getting your garage door to work, your phone, all the, I mean, then there's keyless entry, and it's amazing. I kind of like having the old stick shift and a key. You know?
Yeah, me too. I love the stick shift. I love it. I drive a 6-speed, and I love it. I love it. I drive it like crazy.
Are you in the pop top today, or was it?
Yeah,
cool?
But I left it up. I left it up because it was cool this morning.
Nice
it was actually cool this morning. It may still actually supposed to be pretty cool all day. I think
it's going to be a little cool most of the day, but you know, right now through the about 2 or 3 will be the warmest.
I don't top down at 70 degrees.
Okay.
I don't do that. I'm not one of those that want to.
I thought you were from Boston.
No.
Boston.
I wanted to be in the 80s for it, but pop top down.
Well, you have any projects ensuing over the next week or two?
I'm working on getting my backyard the way I want it to be, and it's taken some time to do that. Yesterday, it was like I changed the oil on my lawnmower, which we should do every year. Yeah. Change the oil on your – because it is just a small engine, and it uses just a small amount of oil. Changing the oil on it is easy to do, and you should buy some regular 30-weight lawnmower oil.
Yeah, Dad, and folks, if you're new to the yard mowing and you still have – gas-powered stuff, like many of us do. Go with non-ethanol if you want your carburetor not to get clogged after this season.
Yeah.
And always try to run the gas out, even if you are using clean gas. That will help you prolong your starting and you're in the season. So just a little advice I've had over the years that
making
works.
Sure and clean out your air filter or put a new air filter in there too and your spark plug.
Hey, 2 hours now you've been listening to the Handyman Show. My name is Buddy Slowick, Rock and Roll Handyman. I'm going to be here until every Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Tell your friends the Handyman's on Super Talk Mississippi, the Bill Mississippi Studios here at Super Talk. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Get some clam chowder.
Bye-bye. Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
Listen and watch all your favorite Super Talk Mississippi shows live and on demand. Listen to tons of music. Plus, get the latest breaking news from across the state with the Super Talk Mississippi app. The Super Talk Mississippi app. Download the Super Talk app on your iPhone or Android device now for free. Just search Super Talk Mississippi in your app store on your mobile device to get everything Mississippi all in one place. The Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob, just walking in here at ESI Supply. Robert, FR clothes are a big hero.
Yeah, we sell a lot of flame-resistant FR clothing to industry that are working in the plant environments and oil and gas industry where they need flame-resistant clothing. So if you have needs for FR-rated clothing, ESI is your number one source.
Stop by and see them at 111 Aerosmith Drive in Richland or give them a call at 601-933-4910. That's 601-933-4910 or online at esisupply.net.
Hey, guys. This is Schaefer Davidson and my wife, Lori, owners of Davidson Marble and Granite of Canton, Vicksburg, and McGee. We also have Davidson Monument Company of Forest and Kosciuszko, as well as Central Mississippi Monument Company of Carthage and Louisville.
We offer a variety of granite, marble, and bronze headstones. We are back to pre-pandemic lead times with gray granite running approximately 2 to 3 months.
We are a third-generation family-owned business serving Mississippi since 1937. Check us out on Facebook or at DavidsonMarbleAndGranite.com.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.